You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, I'm Ricardo Gonçalves. This is SBS On The Money for this Tuesday, the 22nd of December 2020. It's from the SBS Newsroom and it is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap. Later, what is ahead for the markets on 2021? I'll have more with Scott Phillips from The Motley Fool. But first, Australians have replaced spending on travel with spending in the shops, both online and physically. The Australian Bureau of Statistics says retail sales rose 7% in November to be up 13.2% year-on-year, $31.6 billion spent last month. That's a record. And this is the first full month following Victoria's end of restrictions. And that 7% monthly increase would have been only 2.7% if you exclude the state. So for more on the retail sales figures, I spoke earlier with Catherine Birch. She's a senior economist at ANZ. Catherine, how would you describe the level of spending, retail spending in Australia?
Well, if you look at retail spending in Australia in November 2020, the latest data, it's up more than 13% over the year. To put that into perspective, in the year to November 2019, retail sales were only up about 3.3%.
So where's all this money coming from?
So we think there's a few reasons for it. In November alone, we saw an increase of 7% in retail sales. And we think there were two reasons for that. Firstly, the reopening of Melbourne. So we saw retail and hospitality open in Melbourne from October 28th. So we saw a full month of retail sales from Melbourne there. Victorian spending actually increased 21% in the month alone. So we think that reflects quite a bit of pent-up demand as well. The second reason for the big jump in November was the Black Friday sales. And this has been growing in importance on the retail calendar for a number of years now. So, for example, if we look at the ANZ spending data, it suggests that Black Friday spending was up about 40% on last year and about 75% on the year before.
What do you think it means for Christmas sales? Because are shoppers still shopping or have they pushed forward their purchases since we saw such a successful Black Friday period?
We could see a bit of a pull forward from Christmas to Black Friday this year, but we would expect to see a fairly strong Christmas period given how much confidence there is in the economy and given that there's been a bit of a shift from experiences and services to the physical goods side as well due to these lingering effects of the pandemic. Although given the restrictions that we're seeing in Sydney at the moment, this could have a bit of an impact on retail sales in December, unfortunately.
The recent Sydney lockdown, which has been localised to the northern beaches, do you think that'll have an impact on, I don't know, consumer confidence or spending?
Well, the consumer confidence data today, which fell 2% for Australia, actually showed a sharper fall of more than 5% in Sydney alone. And that was the sharpest fall for Sydney since mid-July. So it does suggest that the renewed number of cases and the renewed restrictions in Sydney are having an impact on confidence, which is not surprising. We saw the same thing happen in Melbourne and in South Australia as well. But we do expect that this outbreak will be contained fairly quickly. So we would expect a fairly minor effect on the overall economy coming into the end of the year. And touch wood, things improved quite quickly from the start of 2021.
You were talking about some of the things that consumers are buying. Can you go into more detail? What are they spending their money on?
So spending on household goods is still pretty elevated, so things like electronics and entertainment and homewares as well, and food retailing is still up. But we're seeing some of the other categories that suffered earlier on in the pandemic, like clothing, like cafes and restaurants as well. Spending is starting to really strengthen in those categories, which is a positive.
So putting this all together, what does it say about the state of the economy as we head to the end of the year?
Coming into the end of 2020, the Australian economy is in a much better position than we were expecting just a few months ago. Households and businesses are a lot more confident. Households have quite a bit of savings in their back pocket, given there was a lot of forced saving during the middle of the year. And when we think about households not being able to, you know, go on an overseas trip or even an interstate trip for a lot of this year, households do have a bit in the bank that they now look to be spending on physical goods and gifts at this time of the year.
Catherine Birch there from ANZ. One of the other areas people are spending on is on alcohol. The guys at Finder says Australians spent $2 billion more than normal on booze this year. On average, that means per Australian, $1,891. That's an increase of $270. And I guess it's no surprise given that we're spending more time at home because of COVID. To the Australian share market now, which fell 1.1% to 6,599. That's on the S&P ASX 200. That's despite the US stimulus deal, despite surging iron ore prices, because investors are focusing on those increasing COVID cases in the UK and particularly around that new strain. Shares of Rio Tinto down by 2.7%, ANZ 1.7% weaker. Some health stocks rose like CSL and Ramsay Health, and A2 Milk was the best performer on the 200, up 5% on the back of a broker upgrade. For more, I spoke earlier with Scott Phillips from the Motley Fool. Scott, the market's down today. Why?
Ricardo, it seems like the market was pretty unimpressed with the US stimulus package. There is some concern about the UK COVID strain and just generally the sense, I think, that maybe there might be more to play out before things get better here in Australia.
This US stimulus package, I think the market was waiting and expecting it. So why isn't it rallying?
It seems a bit of a couple of things. The first is I think the expectation was for more money, quite honestly. A lot of people had baked in more than double the current rate of $600 being paid. So it is the case of buy the rumor and sell the fact. In this case, it was buy the rumor of things being better and selling the fact that, you know what, in this case, some money's okay. When you expected more, less is actually hurt share prices.
The market's been falling for the past 3 or 4 days, right? So did we miss out on a Santa rally, or was that huge November rally we saw, was that the Santa rally?
I think it kind of was. And it's worth actually going back a couple of years of history too, right? Because January, it was originally the January effect. And then people try to front run the January effect, which became the Santa rally. Eventually, it'll become the November effect, and then it'll become the October effect, and so on and so forth. Everyone wants to try and get in ahead of the good news. This year in particular, though, such a stunning November, I think that's exactly where the rally was.
Iron ore, though, it's rallying, surging around 175 US. Can that sort of level be sustained?
Look, it can, because the market, as they say, can remain irrational longer than the rest of us can remain solvent. But no, not in any fundamental basis. It cost the big guys, BHP, Rio, Fortescue, something like $15 to $20 a ton to get out of the ground. That means they're making profit margins that are closer to software margins of 85 and 90%. You can't sustain that. At some point, more supply comes on stream, and you end up with a rebalancing of supply and demand and therefore much lower prices. Good in the short term and great if you own the shares. Just be careful because fundamentally, it can't be sustained.
Retail sales rose 7% in November. Spending is up 14% since February. Some of those in the sector have benefited, as we know, in terms of shares. But is there still some value in the retail sector?
Well, that's a good question. Look, I think there is, but you need to be a little bit careful. So the first thing I would say is we're going to see some negative sales next year compared to this year. For some of those March, April, May, big panic buys. I mean, Woolies sales up 12%. That can't be sustainable. Nick Scali sold a truckload of furniture. Of course, there's not so much furniture you can put in a house. So to some degree, comparing year on year, there's going to be some disappointed retailers and retail shareholders. But if you've got a growing shareholder, a growing retailer who's taking market share, you're in a good place. And of course, as long as you look through some of this bumpiness, if you have a good quality retail, you'll still do okay. Just be careful you're not buying based on last year's profits, because it may well turn out that's a high compared to next year.
And this is probably the last time I'll speak to you this year. So can you look into your crystal ball? What do you think the main themes will be for 2021 on the market, and where do you see the market going?
Finish you with an easy question. Thanks, mate. Look, I think I don't know where the market's going to go. I don't do predictions at the end of the year because it's made it make people like me look silly. So I simply politely sidestep that one. Thematically, I think it will be a case of, firstly, COVID recovery. Secondly, a sense of what does the new economy look like? We saw some numbers out today from Australia Post that online sales are up 70% in October versus a year ago. So the changing nature of spending, both for consumers and businesses, I think will keep playing out. And it's going to be a year of working out what is truly the new normal and what's going back to the old normal, if you like. The difference between those two, I think, will determine the winners and losers on the stock market in 2021.
Scott Phillips there from The Motley Fool. That is SBS on the Money for this Tuesday, the 22nd of December 2020. I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Business Ricardo.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.